Wednesday night prayer meeting on Head On with Bob Kincaid opens up a whole new realm of spirituality. Touch others. Reach out and touch faith. Join Brother Bob every Wednesday night for prayer meeting services here in the Tabernacle of Common Sense. Only on the Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
I'm getting so sick of hearing people try to minimalize what's going on. And China's up to it now, too. This idea that, you know, we're going to try and make moves, but not at the detriment to our economy. Hello! How many times do I have to say this? No planet, no economy. No planet, no business. No planet, no commerce. Drives me absolutely insane. And like I said last week, we have George W. Bush pressuring the G8 to soften their language while at the same time making public statements to tell the G8 to get with the program. Excuse me? What bloody planet are you on?
Join me for Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. Moving to 10 a.m. weekdays, Monday, June 18th, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Most people I know.
Brought to you by the Republican National Committee. George W. Bush, Maximum Decider.
Next time you see a stranger on a plane, a stranger with those swarthy looks we all know, ask yourself, shouldn't I be afraid? Maybe he wants to kill me. Maybe he hates us for our freedom. Fear. It's What's for Dinner.
Gather around the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America. Welcome to Verse 7, Chapter 7, Page 7, and Book 7 of Strictly Confidential. I'm your host, Peter Godbold, and I couldn't be happier to be here and to have you along. And I want to thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your life. The show site is at strictlyconfidentialradio.com. There you'll find links to all of the guests and the information about them and when they're scheduled. You'll find links to our chat room. I'll tell you, if you're not in the Head On Radio Network chat room while listening to one of our programs, you're really only getting half the picture. The chat room has some of the finest minds in America, some of the most festive people in America, and they're constantly posting links related to the show. Hop in and get with it. You'll find a link to the chat room at strictlyconfidentialradio.com. Right now in the room we have Ray and Nanette and Moof Mom. Now we'll have to tell you about Moof once you get there because we just don't talk about the Moof on the air. The Move is sort of a private chat room thing. We have Lottie RJ. We have Moi. We have Lilo. We have John Fox, that crazy Australian. We have Jim Barnes and Frozen Soul. And we have ELO. DJ David from Maine. We have the world's most fabulous Russian Cossack. We have Cobwebs. We have Benny. And it's just a riot. You really got to stop by there. It's easy to do. Just log in. Go to strictlyconfidentialradio.com. Click on the chat link, and it'll take you to the room page. You'll get yourself an ID and log right in. The call-in lines, as Bob's explained earlier, we were hit by some major storms this past week, and so we've lost our toll-free lines, but temporarily. The unit is sent off for repair. We hope to have it soon, but we are accepting calls. The calls, unfortunately, are our toll calls, but for a lot of you, you have a toll-free long-distance service or unlimited toll-free hours, so really won't make much difference. It's area code 304-658-5912. That's area code 304-658-5912. rings into West Virginia. An email flows in to Peter at headonradionetwork.com. It's just us tonight, kids, so we don't have an interview this evening. We don't have a guest every evening. You know, myself, like the rest of the Head On Radio Network staff, we try to go for the biggest and the best and the most authoritative guests we can possibly find, and I think I hit the mother load today, by the way. He's expressed an interest in interviewing with us. He's not scheduled at this point, but he is a gay historian of the finest. He's published both international and domestic gay history. I think it will be a program to treasure. All of us have been very interested in the discussions we've had lately about gay history, because we're typically left out of it. There's a huge hunger for knowledge about gay history because we're just not in it. For those of you who are just tuning in, I need to tell you that there is a huge pale, a gray cloud hanging over the Head On Radio Network listeners who have been listening earlier this evening, and indeed across progressive and liberal America. Scooter Libby, can you imagine a man named Scooter? And I'm just going to cover this briefly. I'm not going to rehash the whole thing because it's been covered so eloquently. For details, I recommend that you go to the whiterosesociety.org and listen to Bob's show from just before mine in the archives. Yes, a man named Scooter. Both embarrassing and another stain in the name of America. Well, he had his sentence commuted today by George W. Bush. Of course, George W. Bush had absolutely no choice in this because Scooter could take the jail. Scooter Libby, you see, is involved with treason. He's involved with treason in as much as he helped suppress the evidence that would have convicted George Bush and Dick Cheney and the rest of the mob for the outing of Valerie Plame, who is an operative CIA agent. That's called treason. There's a word for it. The penalty for treason is death. He was sentenced to 2.5 years in prison and a $250,000 fine. George Bush commuted the prison sentence, and of course Libby is now smiling, in fact laughing at America. This was completely unexpected, you know, or actually I used the wrong word. It was completely all of us in the progressive community, because you see the Bush administration has absolutely no choice but to do this, because Scooter Libby knows too much. Had Scooter Libby gone to prison, he would have sung like a bird. It would have taken down Bush. It would have taken down Cheney. It would have taken down Rove. So regardless of the fact that 72% of Americans say they want Libby to go to jail, Bush says, and I quote, "My decision to commute his prison sentence leaves in place a harsh punishment for Mr. Libby." Now, Tennessee David wrote in our chat room earlier that the sentencing guides that Mr. Bush is circumventing are the sentences guide that the Bushies wrote themselves. He also stated that the consequences of his felony on his former life as a lawyer and public service and a private citizen will be long-lasting. What a joke. That man is taken care of for life. They will do anything to keep that man well-oiled in money and prestige. Otherwise, if he suffers, they're in danger. As Bob so eloquently pointed out, he ought to take the money and run, because he's probably on their hit list, because he knows things that he should not know. Former Tennessee Senator Fred Thompson said, "I'm happy for it's a good thing for America. He's done a lot for his country." Yeah, he's done a lot for his country, all right. The move that President Bush just took, it just came hours after the federal appeals court said they would not delay his prison term, so obviously they had to act quickly, or Scooter might talk. Bush said, "I respect the jury's verdict." You lying sack of horse. "I've concluded that the sentence that they gave Libby is excessive, and I'm commuting it." It's unbelievable. Now, he left intact the $250,000 fine, but you can be assured that Libby will not pay that. He does not pay it. The Republican National Committee will take care of that immediately. It's no doubt part of the deal made with Libby. Libby doesn't go to jail. Libby doesn't pay the fine. And Libby doesn't squeal. Now, he's been put on probation. Amongst people who have been to jail, probation is a joke. Now, the lightest form of probation, of course, is just mail-in probation. You fill out a little card once a month and drop it into your mailbox. Your probation officer gets it, and it just basically says, yes, I'm still in the county. No, I haven't broken any laws. That's what it'll be. He'll just have to do this. His punishment amounts to a postcard once a month. I'm disgusted because this is a very dark day in American history. It's disgraceful, and you know, Bush until now refused to talk about it because he said he was waiting for the appeals process. But you know, that came down to the hour. It came down to the point that Scooter Libby actually has the U.S. Bureau of Prisons issued him an inmate number. Yes, sir, number 28301-016. That is Scooter Libby. And let me tell you how they do it in jail. You don't have a name anymore. The guards will just yell, 28301-016, get your ass over here. That's the way it works. Now, you can be assured that 015 and 014 and 013 and 012, oh, they're doing their time. Oh, yes, Lord. And I'm sure their crimes are far less than treason. Yes, it's a dark day. And so I'm trying to figure out what to do, how to go into a show with that hanging on our minds. And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to play a song, and it's not that kind of song. You know, the music I normally play are dance tracks from the gay clubs I used to work in, and tracks that the lesbian bars used to play and request. But I came across this track a while back, and I really wanted to play it on this show, but I could find no reason to do it because it is entirely off the beaten path for this program. I discovered this track actually through MySpace by one of my friends on MySpace is a group called Patriots Speak Out. I encourage you to go there. Maybe after the show, if you go by my MySpace page, which is linked off strictlyconfidential.com, visit their site there in my friend's area. The song, I can't begin to tell you how many times I've been to that site to listen to it. It pretty much says it all, and I hope that it conveys some sense of respect to the veterans who have served in this country and defended it in the previous wars when we really needed defending and when it wasn't an act of aggression, who have given their lives to keep this country going, to keep it free, and are now being, basically, the Republicans are just pissing in their faces. These songs are for you. This song is for you, and especially for you, Gunny. God bless you. The song, as best I can tell, it's a bit obscure. It's called Patriot. As best I can tell, the lyrics are written by Pearl Jam. And if you'd like to read more about it, it's at the Patriots Speak Out on MySpace. Agnes, if you wouldn't mind, would you go ahead and run the clip I sent up called unknown.mp3 and from that just go straight into break. And maybe by then I'll have my head straightened out. Thank you, Agnes.
Turn my back this time. I am Because my government has all the guns. I want to be with my family, people who understand me. And I've got nowhere else to run. I am a preacher with hope. I am a preacher with hope.
Better yet, do you feel it? That's what Night Sounds is all about, and I can't wait. I'm so ready. He's going to change the way we hear music.
I'm getting so sick of hearing people try to minimalize what's going on. And China's up to it now, too. This idea that, you know, we're going to try and make moves, but not at the detriment to our economy. Hello! How many times do I have to say this? No planet, no economy. No planet, no business. No planet, no commerce. Drives me absolutely insane. And like I said last week, we have George W. Bush pressuring the G8 to soften their language while at the same time making public statements to tell the G8 to get with the program. Excuse me? What bloody planet are you on?
Join me for Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. Moving to 10 a.m. weekdays, Monday, June 18th, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Most people I know.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
And welcome back to gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered Conversation Radio on the Head On Radio Network. Although you probably couldn't have told it for now, yes, honey, I'm as gay as a goose. In fact, the concrete turns pink behind me as I drive down the highway. I'm not the prettiest one in the room. I'm not the smartest one in the room. I'm not even the most educated one in the room. But what I am is the one who is crazy enough to do this. So please call. It's area code 304-658-5912. 304-658-5912. Conversation Radio. You know, in the middle of that break, you probably noticed that there was something that ran. You know, this isn't official, and nobody will tell me this, but in my friends, that has Billy Shears written all over it. Something is coming with Billy Shears. Nobody will say what. We've got these teasers. Reminds me of the teasers I ran prior to this program starting. I wouldn't say who I was, but everybody knew. I wouldn't say when the show started. There was lots of speculation. I think Billy Shears has got something going with the Kincaids, and I haven't quite figured it out yet. By the way, I do want you to go by BillyShearsMusic.com and read the latest post there by Cynthia Manley. Cynthia Manley is absolutely fabulous. She's been traveling around the country lately doing gay pride celebrations in lots of the major cities. And Cynthia Manley had a lot of huge dance hits a few years back and is still recording. You'll hear one of her new songs, when you go to the Billy Shears site and see a picture of her, she's absolutely gorgeous. And she's a redhead. Caution, danger, warning, Will Robinson. So I just wanted to let you know that Cynthia is at Billy Shears site. And that's good news. How does a government steal a church? Now, don't worry, I'm going to not go over all the same information. I go over this often because I'm so damn mad about it, because I grew up in the damn church. But I have some new information just to show you how the Bush administration has basically bought the Methodist Church. The next time you drive by a Methodist church and you see their slogan on one of the signs out front, the slogan is Open Hearts, Open Mind. Now you can just read it as Open Hearts, Open Minds, a subsidiary of the Bush administration, a wholly owned subsidiary. Yeah, right. SMU, Southern Methodist University. Well, you know, it's the only university in history to ever receive a death penalty from the National Collegiate Athletics Association. In 1987, the NCAA required, among other things, the university cancel its football season. It was a huge embarrassment. They decided that they needed to eliminate the program. It was built on a legacy of wrongdoing and deceit. What it involved was there was a slush fund of $61,000. Can you imagine that? Wonder how that happened. Well, if you hear who the trustees are, you'll know precisely how it happened, my friends. $61,000 was distributed to 13 football players. And they were busted for it. The university was humiliated, as was the United Methodist Church. Well, that's going to pale. That little scandal is going to pale when it unfolds with the $500 million George W. Institute built to polish his legacy, built to cover up the torture, built to cover up the lies. You see, the library isn't so much that. I mean, it'll have a copy of My Pet Goat, and that's it. You know, you could go through, see the book, walk out. What's dangerous is the think tank that is associated with it. There's a huge Republican think tank associated with it. It can carry the name of Southern Methodist University and United Methodist Church so that it has a presence of credibility. However, the reverse of that is not true. The university has no control over what it says, over what it does, or any and slander that it puts out against the good name of the church. Now, to convince the Methodist Church to sustain its good name and to allow a university to give away its respectability, it just requires a lot of nifty tricks. And it's a trick that required the Southern Methodist University Board of Trustees to hide its intentions from both the faculty and from the church leaders and from the students that a partisan institute lacking any academic control was going to be coming to the SMU campus. And in order to do that, Bush needed powerful friends in high places, and damn it, he had them. The entire SMU Board of Trustees kept this from the church and kept it from the university. The Southern Methodist University Board of Trustees is bought, paid for, fully owned by the Bush administration. The conflicts of interest are you could stir them with a stick. Long-standing relationships with the Bush administration. He has bought this church. At least 25 of the 41 trustees, that would be 61%, have personal, financial, or political relationships with Bush, major fundraisers. For example, a billionaire oil man, Ray Hunt, he's part of the Halliburton board of members. He's been on the S&P board since 76. He's a longtime financial backer and friend of Bush. He serves as the finance chairman for the Republican National Committee for Bush in 2000, and his company and employees contributed more than $1 million to Republican causes. Also, they gave $250,000 toward the Bush 2005 coronation. Gee, that's the same figure that Dell Computer gave to the 2005 presidential inauguration, or coronation, as we call it. Yes, if you have a Dell computer, I'm afraid it's evil. You better sprinkle some holy water over it. Some of that money you paid for it went to the ball. There are 22 trustees that have devoted huge amounts of time in campaigning for Bush. The story goes on and on, but what it basically comes down to is that this started in 2001, the takeover. Let me just tell you who a few of those people are. This is how deeply, and I'm very embarrassed by this because I grew up in the Methodist Church. There's Jean Phillips. She's a trustee. She was appointed as a Southern Methodist trustee in 2004. She was chosen by Ray Hunt, whom we just mentioned. She was an advisor for the National Finances for the presidential campaign of George W. It goes on and on and on. Her lists of links are legion. There's Ruth Ashtoller. She's a Dallas philanthropist and investor. She pledged to raise at least $100,000 for the 2000 Bush campaign, and she gave $25,000 toward the Bush inauguration coronation. There's Michael Boone, corporate attorney. He's an active financial and supporter of the Bushes since he ran for governor. He raised at least $100,000. And then we have Reverend Kirby Joyne Caldwell. He's a pastor of United Village Methodist Church. He introduced Bush at the 2000 Republican. You talk about conflict of interest. These people are voting on whether or not to have Southern Methodist University host the Bush Library. There's Cardi. He's contributed $52,000 for the re-election of George Bush. There's Mark Craig. He a longtime friend and admirer of Bush, and he thanks Bush for what he's done. And it doesn't look like he's too much involved with the money, but he's involved with creating friendships. You've got Scott Jones. He part of the trustees. He was key in getting the library there. You've got Tower. She's the daughter of a senator. She's in a state that's raised $1.2 million toward the biggest political action committees in Texas. The list goes on and on. I could go on for 15 minutes reading how infested, and yes, I do mean the word infested, with the damn Republicans the Methodist Church has become. I'm disgusted by it. One of the reasons I'm so disgusted by it is I'm going to have to leave that church. How can I live, how can I die with my name on paper of an organization that is the host of the President Bush Library, the most divisive, maniacal jackass in the history of this country? I'm fully disgusted by it. Whew. Gee, I'm a little ticked tonight. We know as soon as we got rid of. By the way, you can call me. I'm not the final authority in all this stuff. I'm sure you have something to say to me. The area code is 304-658-5912. Next story is a little bit long, so I won't go through that one. But I'll read this one. It's a short one before we go to the bottom of the hour break. It's the anti-gay remark of the week. Here we've got this guy. He's a coach. Dubenmeyer, and he's a veteran high school football coach, and he's head of the Pass the Salt Ministries. And if you know, go to his website, you're going to see immediately who he links himself with. He's got pictures there of himself with Sean Hannity, the one that released the information to us that them lesbians has got gangs and they're going around killing people. Also on his cover of his site is the Alabama Justice Roy Ten Commandments Moore, and a failed GOP presidential candidate, Alan Keyes. Well, anyway, he went to Columbus, Ohio. Golly, he went to Columbus, Ohio, and he went to Gay Pride Parade. Well, he was horrified. Here's what he has to say. The homosexual leadership, those who work iniquity, work it, girl, work that iniquity. They've done a great public relations job. They have convinced us that Tommy and Billy, who live down the street, are the real face of homosexuality. But sadly, those who walked into the den of iniquity with us on Saturday can attest the underbelly of sodomy. Sodom and Gomorrah, the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was not anal sex. The Bible will tell you that, but nonetheless, we're called sodomites. It was despicable, he says. You know, this analogy, the depth to which this is warped simply amazes me. Just amazes me. They're saying the sodomite parade is like meat on display, and it will ever, forever change the way you view homosexuality. It says sin has no boundaries, no clutches, no emergency brake, and once you dip your toe into the pool of sin, there's a magnetism that will not let you go. And then he says, the debauchery of pandering down our streets is abominable. But he goes on here about how if you go into a meat factory, you're never gonna want to eat a hot dog again. And so somehow or another, this analogy of a dirty hot dog is hooked up with gay folks somehow. And the psychosis of this, I really don't want to go there. oh, Lord, he's talking about Rosie O'Donnell. He goes on about Richard Simmons. He basically just goes on and on and on. So this is Coach Dave Dobenmeyer, who went to see a gay pride parade. Can you imagine that? So I think we're running a little late for the bottom of the hour break, but we'll head over there. Thank you, Agnes.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. Just stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe. And believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Brought to you by the Republican National Committee. George W. Bush, Maximum Decider.
We keep the evildoers down at Gitmo because they're dangerous. Terrorists learn better when they got panties on their heads and stripes on their backs like the grill marks on a ribeye. If we don't do that, they'll kill you. Because they hate your mama, and they hate your Bible like they hate your freedom. Fear. It's what's for dinner.
And welcome back. Welcome back, welcome back. That's a wonderful song. I'd like to let it play all the way through, but there's too much to cover. Wonderful track. We'll play it in full one night. One thing I forgot to tell you about the coach. He points out that most homosexuals grew up in church. So why do they hate it so much now? Duh! Could it be because you hated us first? Do you think? Well, it's official now. Jerry Falwell announced it over and over again. Of course, now he's bending over in front of the devil. But now it is official also from England. Gay people run the weather. Honey, you better look out. There are a lot of pissed off gays and lesbians around this country. And apparently we have full control of the weather. Yes, we do. Storms, hurricanes, tornadoes. You know, we just start out, you know, we need to just name the tornadoes after you know, like huge mega gay, you know, like the Barbara Streisand tornado, we'll have the Liberace hurricane, you might as well do that because, honey, we are in charge of it. We are so in charge of it. Now, check this out. The bishop, oh, dear Lord, he's got this huge smile on his face and his huge cross in his vestment, and he's carrying a staff. Well, you know, that's probably to jam up our butts when we're being... Lord have mercy. Well, he says, you know, they had some bad weather in England, so have we. But he says that the floods that have devastated huge areas in England are God's judgment on the immorality and greed of modern society and the homosexuals. This is according to the Senior Church of England bishops. Another bishop claimed that the laws have been undermined by the attacks on and the introduction of pro-gay legislation, and they provoked God to act by sending storms that have left thousands of people homeless. You see, obviously, this gives us complete control. All we have to do is ask for our rights or have a gay pride parade. All we have to do to really, really, really piss off the Almighty is to do something like that, and we can bring down a storm like you would not believe. You people better be afraid. You better be very, very afraid. We have the weather. We are now in charge. Another one, a bishop of Carlisle, said the floods are not a result of lack for the planet. In other words, it's not a result of global warming. It's a judgment on our decadence. What is it with these people and the weather? I'm sure there was a drag queen on the Titanic doing her big number, and that was when they hit the iceberg. There is no doubt a drag queen responsible for it. She's probably one of my relatives, probably one of my early uncles that the family never talked about. No doubt. This is an interesting story. I do have a caller, though. Not going to keep anybody on hold because we are coming in on your dime, and we have David from Tennessee, one of my favorite people on the whole planet. Welcome to the show, David.
Well, gee whiz, I'm flattered right in the very beginning. This is tremendous.
Honey, we know which side of the bread we're buttered on.
Well, look, if the gays are in control of the weather, what would it take? Champagne, a couple of nice pair of shoes, you know, in the right size, and handbags to match. I haven't mowed my yard in 5 weeks. Could we put a fix in for a little bit of a little tinkle here in the middle of Tennessee?
Jesus, honey, if you mow your lawn with a hat and a pair of heels and a very nice little short frock, preferably leather, you could bring them. It would be hailing frogs and fish. You know, you might as well throw the ark.
I like green a lot better than brown. But on a more serious note, Bob did a fine job of letting all of us weep and wail and moan and gnash our teeth about an absolutely surrealistic screw job by the government of the United States regarding that interesting little criminal. But in an effort to connect, hasn't the gay community been treated like this since forever? No rational thought put into laws and the application thereof, and no matter what you do that's right, the man just makes a mockery of it and takes advantage of it.
Oh, he does. Yes, he does. And in fact, somewhere in this stack, there's a story. I'm sure I can't lay my hands on it now because it's so many pieces of paper. But do you know that when he was campaigning, he was still governor of Texas. He was campaigning for president, and he brought in a whole log cabin Republicans, which is, of course, the gay community's version of Aunt Jemima, is the black people's version of Uncle Tom's. Anyway, they all came in, and he promised them that he spent 90 minutes with them, going on about how he was going to work for gay rights and how we were all part of the community and all that stuff. Boy, those log cabin Republicans just ate it up. They believed all that stuff. Can you imagine believing a Republican? So, yeah, they're hypocrites, and yes, they change the rules on the fly. You're absolutely right. I'll find that eventually. I'm sure I'll get to it later tonight.
I remember that purported reach out, and, there's another common phrase with reach in it that I could throw out there as a punchline, but I'm going to leave that one alone. No, he did reach out, and it was absolutely facetious, and it was the worst of campaign promises. But I just that dawned on me that the segment of the populace that you're speaking so eloquently about, you've endured this over and over and over again, and you're exactly right. How anyone could claim to be a gay Republican? Is there a more oxymoronic phrase in the world? I mean,
not really. And go ahead.
No, it's just that the prototypical Republican cares not for but the moneyed status individual that is going to make sure they can retain their power. They don't care about any sort of openness or honesty.
Of course not. It's like Lucy with the football, you know, and she puts it out for Charlie Brown. and you know, every time. Yeah, she's not going to move. She's not going to move. She's not going to move. And that bitch snatched every time.
She will always move the football. Well, I just wanted to break the ice on my relationship with you and get one call in, you know, from an old square straight guy. So I appreciate the chance to be part of what you're doing.
Well, you and Billy Shears will go into my Fabulous Straight Guys Museum, which I will open one day. After we devastate the planet with storms, we're going to rebuild it with Fabulous Straight Guy Museum. Sorry.
Whatever I can do, I'll be happy to be part of.
Okay, bless your heart. Thank you so much for calling.
Thanks,
I enjoyed
Peter.
Talking to you. Yes,
bye-bye.
Sir. Bye-bye. That was David from Tennessee. He's a major sweetheart and a longtime listener to this network. I'll go on a little bit more about this Pope thing. And this is an interesting twist. He says, in the Bible, institutional power is referred to as the beast, which sets itself up to control people and their morals. Our government has been playing the role of the beast. Well, you know, if the red ruby slippers fit, you know, I think it's the church. In fact, the Bible clearly tells us the beast emerges from the church. Actually, the Antichrist. The beast is back in Revelations. The Antichrist is what he's really trying to say. Well, maybe he's not. I'm sure he has some. He could straighten me out of, you know, Bible verses. I mean, after all, he's the bishop. Screwed up and needing therapy, to be sure, but he is the bishop, so I'm sure he could outdo me with Bible verses. But, you know, this bit about institutional power and controlling people's lives and morals, it's like the church to me. Yes, it does. It says, you know, the orientations of people to trying to give them more rights. It's the general scene of permissiveness, and he expressed sympathy. Oh, this is precious. He expresses sympathy to those who have been hit by the bad weather, but he said that the problem with the environment has to do with us again, and that it's the environment, it's the judgment. It's environmental judgment. Now, this is a brand new phrase for us now. Bad weather is now called environmental judgment by the Church of England. Yes, that's what this is. It's environmental judgment, y'all. That's right. Yes, a gay guy kisses another gay guy in New England, and God wipes out 7,000. It's so ludicrous. God, help us get through this. These people, how do they put on their ruby red slippers and go to work in the morning? I just cannot fathom it. It's the West. He says the West did it, and it's all about the United States. Now, you know, never mind that we have Republicans in control. They're, you know, we're being murdered every time we turn around. I've got another nice story about that, if you could call it nice. He says that people no longer see natural disasters as acts of God, but that's what they are, and now we're reaping what we've sown. And he warned that flood-hit communities need to brace themselves for more rain this weekend, film at 11, and, you know, maybe the newscaster, maybe the weather guy will be gay. I certainly hope so. You know, it's just unbelievable. You know, here we are. We undermine marriage. We destabilize military unit cohesion. We cause natural disasters. We're a magnet for terrorism. Remember, it was 9/11 that we caused. I mean, Jesus, is there anything that we didn't do? Would somebody, anything that we did not cause? Christ, these people, it's just hysterical. You have to cry or laugh or do something. And in the midst of all these ministers saying things like this, of course, we find it goes hand in hand. It's not the storms. It's this study. The study shows that the rate of anti-gay crimes is going up astronomically and through the roof. Do you think? Can you believe that? Well, a study from the University of California shows that anti-gay crimes committed against citizens of the U.S., 4 out of every 10 gays and 1 out of every 8 lesbians in the United States. This is the most reliable survey to date. This fellow who did this is a professor of psychology at UCLA. And the data demonstrates that crimes against sexual minorities, adults, especially gay men, are disturbingly widespread. You know, these men can't stand to see a man who they think is feminine, you know, because that's degrading to men everywhere. They, you know, women don't matter, according to them, so they can dress up in pants and do whatever they want to do. But you cannot have a man, you know, acting like a woman. That makes them look weak, or God knows. Said 21 reported being the target of a physical or sexual assault. And I've been a victim of that. I've been assaulted with a knife because I was gay. Property crimes, my car was stolen. This all happened the same night. Left tied up. That was terrible. It was in my home. That was a long time ago. Said 49% reported subject to a verbal abuse. 23% said they'd been confronted with threats of physical violence. The rates were different from gay men, lesbians, and bisexual. The gay men reported the highest incidence of abuse. I don't know why. Maybe we're more visible or become more threatening to them. I don't know. Rates of violence and property crimes are reported by gay men was 3 times greater than for lesbians or bisexuals. And lesbians and gay men reported a higher incidence of employment discrimination, 2 to 5 times greater than bisexuals. And said that men are generally more likely than women to be the targets, and the pattern seems to hold with anti-gay hate crimes as well. Now, this has got to do with discrimination in hiring. People who took part in the study, they were average of 39 years old, and by race, they were to white, and 16% were black, and 12.5% were Hispanic. It was done with a random. They picked out 40,000 people out of the phone book, and of course President Bush is saying he's going to veto the bill, the Matthew Shepard bill. He's going to veto that if it passes. Lord help us, I tell you, just every day. Some days look pretty good, some days look pretty bad. I think I'm just going to, pack up my hoop skirt and my magnolia bush and my doggy, and I'm going to get in my carriage in Massachusetts. And if the cold doesn't kill me, at least I can get married. Oh, yeah. I tell you what, let's go ahead and we'll run our first dance track of the night. And the reason we're running this one, you'd be amazed how many emails I have gotten asking me, what is the song that your show intro is taken from? The show starts off Strictly Confidential. It's the name of the show. Well, that particular clip I took from a song called Keep It Confidential by Nona Hendricks. Now, Nona Hendricks is she was originally with Patti LaBelle back in the days that with Patti LaBelle and the Bluebells were, in the Apollo. And they were introduced, the Bluebells were introduced to the Hall of Fame in 1999. And Nona Hendricks is just fabulous. She's done a number of wonderful dance hits. And this has always been a favorite of mine, this particular track. It was a favorite of mine and Bill's when we used to DJ together. And so this is the actual track that my theme song, Strictly Confidential, is taken from. I hope you enjoy it much as I do. And it's Keep It Confidential by Nona Hendricks, the 12-inch dance mix.
If a man can love a liar, and a woman can love a thief, there's a few things, baby, you should know about me. I've always looked for power in all the lovers I knew. But now I know the glory of simply loving you. Oh,
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
It wasn't exactly planes, trains, and automobiles on Head On with Bob Kincaid.
This is what the Bush Administration Justice Department didn't want you to see back in 2001. They took out and they huffed the marker a little bit, and then they went, oh, cool. And they wiped out the name where it says, the plane was chartered either by the Saudi Arabian royalty family or Osama bin Laden. Somebody's got to call up and say, good afternoon. Thank you for calling Ryan International Flights. How may I help you?
Hello. This is Osama bin Laden, and I would like to rent a Boeing 727. Do you have one handy?
Oh, just a moment. Let me check. It's a Mr. bin Laden wants to know if we got a 727. Do we, Harry, do we have a 727?
Yeah, we got a 727 just sitting there on the lot. Going cheap.
There's nothing here. Nothing to look at. Keep moving. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. The, you know, the 6'7" Arab with the portable dialysis machine and the white robes.
Somebody's trying.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, weeknights, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is Billy Shears. Join us this Thursday on Foxed Up with John Fox at his new time, 10 a.m. Eastern.
People, let me tell you about my best friend.
We'll take a look at two famous recording artists that mocked the Smothers Brothers on stage after too much to drink. And you'll never guess what one of them had on his head. And it wasn't a lampshade. Tune in to Foxed Up this Thursday at the new time, 10 a.m. Eastern. With John Fox at the Head On Radio Network, The Horn. This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
People should be free to enter into any kind of relationship they want to enter into.
People should be free to enter into the relationships that they choose.
I think different states are likely to come to different conclusions, and that's appropriate.
When it comes to conferring legal status on relationships, that is a matter left to the state.
I don't think there should necessarily be a federal policy in this area.
This message brought to you by Lynn and Dick Cheney.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of Strictly Confidential. I'm having a great time this evening getting a few things off my chest. I'll tell you, this radio host gig, that, it's not too bad. I got a marriage proposal in the email. Now, it was from a woman, but, you know, I could change. I could change. I also got an email from Jim, and Jim tells us, well, no, I think I will save this for Jim himself because we have Jim on the line. Jim, welcome to Strictly Confidential.
Hello, Peter. How are you?
I'm fine tonight, Jim. It's so good of you to call. I couldn't believe what I read in the email. I hope you'll, because I can't pronounce the name of the town. You know, that's, is that a Russian name?
No, it was Byzantium, the old name for Constantinople. But there it was commonly believed at that time that buggery was the major cause of earthquakes. It's located in the Anatolian
Peninsula,
where Turkey is. Now present-day Istanbul.
Well, I have a dance track I'll have to run one night called Earthquake, and we'll just have to rename that the buggery song. It's really quite festive. You know, you're a wealth of information regarding things like that, Jim. You never know what you're going to hear from you.
That's true. I can be pretty unpredictable. But, you know, there's one thing I want to say, a couple things. And I don't pretend to know a lot about a lot of things, but what I do know is this. As long as it's love, I don't think God minds, because Jesus Christ, there is so much hatred in this world. And I simply cannot understand how people can make money off of hatred when it particularly comes to a person's sexual orientation who is in no way offending that person, really, or doing anything to hurt him in any way. I just don't understand that type of discrimination. And as far as the Antichrist is concerned, I think it was St. Augustine who wrote, if you want to look for the Antichrist, look for him within yourself.
That's a wise line. I like that. Yeah,
I'm not sure if that's the city of God or whatever, but he was one of the early Christian fathers who also said, you know, Lord, let me be celibate, but not right now. But he certainly contributed a great deal to the mainstream of Christian literature. And I just don't understand all this anti-gay rhetoric and anti-gay sentiment, because, I mean, I don't know, what do they hope to accomplish by it?
Well, Jim, I'm at a complete loss over that last article. I could have just, my jaw fell when I saw that the Church of England is jumping on the Falwell wagon with the responsible for floods and such. That one came as a complete surprise. You know, after you've lived in this world for a good long while and you've walked the life, you know, in our high heels, you know, you kind of get used to getting blindsided. But that one really caught me off guard. I have no idea where that came from. Just amazing to me. The ignorance is so deep and dark, you could stir it with a stick.
I think it probably has something to do with the position that certain elements of the American Episcopal Church have taken as far as being tolerant of gay people. And the partnership, domestic partnership in the marriage thing, and having a gay bishop and things of that nature. I'm sure that had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, you must be referring to the split in the Anglican Church about
because
the
church
thing,
yeah. Well, the Anglican Church, yeah.
And I see.
Here. And you know, but maybe that's got something to do with it. I mean, you're gonna, no matter how enlightened you try to be and what you try to tell people, you're always going to have somebody who's going to drag all that stuff out and keep it alive, and it seems as though it's just essential for their own sense of well-being. And then I question, because sometimes I get the impression that, you know, methinks they just protest too much. And maybe it's something with themselves that they just can't accept. And therefore, because they can't accept it and they can't deal with it, they have to hate it and they have to destroy it.
Yes, they have to kill it in others because they cannot kill it in themselves, and they can't kill it in themselves because it's a God-given gift. You know, the Bible says, you know, it's God's business if he makes one pot for, you know, one clay pot for special use and one clay pot for another use. He's the potter, we are the clay. You know, they would argue to the death over that, but there's a lot to be said for accepting who and what we are. There's peace that comes with that, too.
I mean, these people want to go back to the days of Roy Cohn and J. Edgar Hoover and people like that. And I had a nightmare the other night. I thought I dreamt that I had to deal with J. Edgar Hoover in drag.
Oh, dear God, Jim. Oh, dear God. Oh, okay. This I got to hear. Tell us more. Oh, please tell us more.
I don't know
more.
What it means, but I always thought Hoover was an autumn, not a taupe.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, promo. Promo.
Hoover loved to have parties where he would get up and drag himself and do all kinds of, you know, prance around. I mean, that man looked bad enough in a regular business suit and a white shirt and a dark tie, but I can't imagine him as trying to be one of the Russian Grand Duchesses, can you?
Not really. That face was not a face that even what was her name? The woman who just died recently. The huge makeup goddess. Nobody could fix that face.
I don't care
what you did. Well, there was Tammy Faye, too. No, it wasn't Tammy Faye. It was the The famous woman who made, oh yeah, Elizabeth Arden. It was one of those like we talked about it the other night. I can't remember. Had a famous makeup lady die. Well, somebody.
Oh, okay.
Liz Claiborne. Okay. Liz Claiborne.
I don't mean to be too deprecatory here. There's an excellent movie out called The Eyes of Tammy Faye.
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah, I thought you probably may have seen that, and may have seen that, and it's and you know, she basically at one time was the co-host of an openly gay man, and I always thought Tammy Faye was a hoot.
Well, she was, you know, she has a huge gay following now. It's very interesting the way that worked out. According to the movie, they just love her to death.
Well, you know, when you have programs on the air like Queer as Folk and stuff like that, and people happen to tune into the logo channel and they see that, a lot of people get really upset, and they don't like to be confronted with things like that. But you know, those things are a fait accompli. They're an accomplished fact, and they may as well get used to it. And that's carried by CBS, and you know, you can get a number of. Lots of good information on that. You really can on gay issues and things of that nature. And as far as, you know, every time I think of Matthew Shepard being crucified by those louts and dragged the way he was and treated the way he was and killed, I mean, I don't have room for that type of understanding and tolerance. And in my own way, which is unique, I will admit, I am a very tolerant man, but that I simply cannot envision. I cannot fathom why one human being would want to do that to another. And then our president refusing to support the anti-gay hate crime bill and say that he is a practicing Christian, it's just beyond the
pale. It's appalling, and as they twist words, they like to say. And in fact, a Democrat voted against it. I have a reference here somewhere. He, Democrat from Oklahoma, who voted against it, went on to say the reason he voted against it is because it would violate the free speech of Christians. And of course, he knew that was a lie. He knew it was a lie when he said it, and that's the standard line from the American Family Association and Focus on the Family, is that it violates their free speech, and they know full well it does not. What it does say, they can relax. They can still stand on the sidewalk and scream faggot and queer and scream, and even protects Fred Phelps. What you may not do is physically assault us, and that is really the issue here, because, you know, we have some of these people still talking about stoning. I know that comes as a surprise. I have an article buried in here somewhere. I don't know if I'll get to it tonight, but of a fellow who's advocating it for homosexuals and children who, you know, all the Old Testament stuff, children who disobey their parents, incorrigible juvenile delinquents, women who, the women especially, it was interesting. It was not just any woman. I mean, you know, but you should stone to death women who are virgins who are engaged. In other words, women who had been sold back in the Old Testament. You know, the depth of just pure stupidity is mind-boggling.
Well, stupidity does have a habit of getting its way, unfortunately. You know, one other thing, and I know you've got other things to cover on your agenda tonight, but one of the reasons I enjoy the Roseanne show is because she was a really, very much of a leader back in the 90s by her having openly gay people on her show, like, you know, Leon Karp, her manager, and her business partner, played by Sandra Bernhard, Nancy. And one thing Leon said, I'll never forget, he said, you know, you just don't know what it's like to wake up and go to your garage door and have faggots painted across the door, and they can't even spell the damn word right.
Yeah, yeah.
Incidentally, one last thing, I'll let you go. If you talk about music, but you, take a look at Bronski Beat. That ought to remind you of your days at Cha-Cha Palace, okay?
Well, it does so. In fact, I looked through Bronski Beat today, and I was trying to figure out the name of the track. I had thought that, I had heard through the grapevine.
It was a good one. The video is...
Oh, it was a small... Okay. Hey, that was because I have that. And, of course, I have, you know, Y, and I have, well, you know, I have a bunch of Bronze TV. But Small Town Boy is fabulous. I would love to play that. I don't think I've uploaded it to the studio, so I'll probably have to do that request tonight. But, yes, Small Town Boy, I would love to play that.
Yeah, the video is especially good, too. If you look at it, you can pick it up on YouTube.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I'll have to run a YouTube on that. I would love to see it.
Yeah, just go to Bronze TV, have... just right there, and they'll play right for you. You can just pull it straight out right now if you wanted to. But anyway, I thank you for your time, and I wish you luck with your show. And let's hope that we can, as a nation and as people, concentrate on the real problems that are bothering this country and not all this other crap they're using to cover up the real problems. You know what I'm saying? They pull out all this stuff and use it as some type of stucco or whitewash to divert our attention from the real problems that are causing great difficulties for the entire world. And America is really a leader in that right now, I'm afraid. And I hate to say that, but we are.
Amen. Absolutely true. Well, I be sure and listen tomorrow night. We're definitely going to have Small Town Boy. I've got an extended remix of it that's just fabulous.
Well, I'll tell you, the long version is just a guy in an airplane, but the shorter version... If you look at it a couple times, it may bring back a lot of poignant memories, okay? Thank you, Peter.
Yes, it does. You too, sir.
Good night
to you. That was nice from Jim. I haven't talked with him in a while. The last time Jim and I encountered each other over the phone, that was when Bruce Birch was with us. Bruce Birch, we miss him terribly, by the way. Bruce is taking a sabbatical. We'd love to have him back. I used to call him the old smoothie, because he has such a wonderful radio voice. He's from North Carolina, and the man could melt butter. I think he used to be a singer, if I'm not mistaken. And so anyway, one night I was on the phone carrying on with Bruce about something or another. God knows what I was saying. I'm usually incoherent. And Jim is on the other line. Bruce, realizing that Jim and I were wearing matching shoes, decided to connect us together, and that turned out to be a hoot of a conversation. In fact, they made a promo out of that, and that promo ran forever. That was a hoot. I had a great time with Jim that night. Let's see. I guess it's time to go to a 15-minute break, Agnes, and we'll do that and come back, and we'll take some calls at 304-658-5912. I'll see you in a sec.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education is different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If
you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Bruce Birch Radio Program, weekdays, 5 to 7 p.m., connecting people.
Listen, oh, we have the founding fathers and mothers, and we got the founding sisters. Don't forget about that, sir.
It's Wicked Witch of the North, huh, Peter?
Jim, I'm the Wicked Witch of the South. Glad to meet you, buddy.
Well, listen, I sent an email. You haven't replied.
Dude, I replied to your email. I told you that we wanted to have you in chat.
I can't do it. They won't let me in.
Oh, please.
Is this a good idea?
You're a real, both of you are a total camp.
Bruce, I love you more.
Uh-oh. Oh, my God. I'm going to have to retreat to my Barbara Cartland novels and my box of bonbons.
Oh, God, the world's first bitch fight on internet radio.
This is great. This is great. So, do I have to flip a coin, or what's the deal here?
Don't miss Bruce Birch, weekdays, 5 to 7 p.m. on the Head On Radio Network.
Tell you, Agnes is on her game tonight. I mentioned that promo that Jim and I ended up on, and there it was. We were having a blast that night. Bruce Birch's show was magic. He had a way of really lifting people up, and we miss him terribly. We really do. We want Jim back. We want Jim. Yes, we do. I'm not going to say another word till Jim. Did I say Jim? I mean Bruce. Well, Jim, too. We want them back. Okay, the phone number here is 304-658-5912, and that is in West Virginia, and we'd love to hear from you. As I say, it's not conversation radio unless you're willing to talk to me, and I'm that scary. I may be a little mean, but I don't bite, unless you beg. And let's talk about the students. Thank God the students are starting to get their feathers ruffled. It's just like, I don't know, is it because we're so, running in the circles of older progressives and older liberals that we don't hear what the younger people are doing, or is it that they're just now starting to get their, back in the 60s, the young folks were terribly involved, and I think that had a lot to do with the draft. They were in great danger of losing their lives, and so perhaps that was the force behind the greater act then, but it seems like younger folks have been quieter, but it's probably because I'm missing something, but boy, they weren't quiet recently. In Seattle, they raised some hell. They're pretty upset about the armed forces being so damn aggressive with recruiting kids in school. Every time they turn around, they're in a public school, and they're very, very aggressive. And so some students of a high school and some college kids came together to rally before the Seattle Public School Board meeting, and it was huge. They felt like it was time to take action, and, guys are in there every week. The way the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy works is it says that, in order for a school to get federal funding, you have to allow the military full access to the students' records, yes. The students' records. You have to allow them as much access as they want to sit there and browbeat kids to joining the military. You know, these kids were very upset. You know, the Army fell 6,600 troops short of its goal of 80,000 recruitments in 2005. And, you know, that pretty much is the number of people who are gay that got kicked out of the military over Don't Tell. So anyway, the youth in Seattle, they raised some hell. They went to the school board meeting, and they said, you know, the rule is to have a recruitment fair, or what they want is a recruitment fair once per semester, and that, you know, the kids up there, it's not like they can't see the military. I mean, in Seattle alone, there are 13 recruiting stations for the Navy, the Army, the National Guard. There's more than enough information available outside the school. They are sick and tired of the military coming in there and beating them up. Now, you know, what it's supposed to be is, you know corporations, a school, you know, presenting business careers and opportunities, and all these good things are supposed to happen. But what happens is the corporations don't show up, the business people don't show up. The only people that show up is the military, week after week after week after week. They're just a little bit tired of it. They staged a die-in, and they were chanting, "Yo, school board, what's up?" I love it. They are going on about the rampant homophobia in the military. And anyway, that's a kudos to the students up in Seattle. And they were upset over military recruitment in school, the ban on gays. They didn't like that. And Jim mentioned Rosie O'Donnell. Here's a little piece about Rosie, although she isn't the primary focus of the article. The primary focus is the Bermudas. You know, activists down there are starting to put up posters, and one of the posters reads, it shows a man holding his baby, and the poster reads, "I don't know if my son's sexual orientation, I don't know what it's going to be. And because I don't know, I'm about the business of creating a world where he can express himself in ways that are healthy and where it's safe to be who." Now, that's a little wordy by our standards. We would have, you know, maybe they've got time to read something that long in Bermuda. But, you know, nonetheless, they're making an effort. And they're trying to come up with a rights bill to... it's very contentious on the island right now. When it was first presented in front of the legislature, you know, equal rights for gay folks down there, back in 1981, the lawmakers had nothing to say. And I mean that literally. They sat in stunned silence at the very mention of it. Now, it became huge recently when evangelical protesters down there in Bermuda, they were wagging their finger at Rosie O'Donnell's cruise line. And she planned to have that boat dock there on the island, you know, for sun and fun for the gay folks that were on the... But, you know, the cruise organizers were put off the island. There were threats by church groups, and you know, I think there were some attacks. The Bermudan people, they were horrified. And so, in response, the premier down there says, "Bermuda is a democracy that welcomes all people, all races, all colors, all creeds, and sexual orientations. We're doing everything we can to welcome Rosie O'Donnell, and we respect you, blah, 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 blah." So, you know, I guess the bottom line here is, you know, is he sad enough about what happened? Does he care enough about what happened to just pay lip service to it? Or is he really going to do something about it? I personally think he's just hoping to get some more gay bucks. That's all he wants. Yep, some more gay bucks. His man doesn't mean anything about trying to give gay folks their rights. And in "Even a Blind Squirrel Finds an Acorn Every Once in a While" department, we have Barack Obama. This man, you know, here on the Progressive Radio Network, they're not only a few behind, they're entire books behind. It's like we're on the letter W in the Encyclopedia Britannica, and these guys are just getting started on A. Barack Obama told a church convention on Saturday, hang on to your hats, "Some right-wing evangelical leaders have exploited and politicized religious beliefs in an effort to sow division." Well, duh! Do you think? He says, this is hysterical to me, how could these people be so stupid? "Somehow, somewhere along the way, faith stopped being used to bring us together and started being used to drive us apart. Faith was hijacked."
Jesus, how many years have we been talking about that on this network? For crying out loud. You know, it's just, you know, we're supposed to vote for these people? Are we really supposed to vote for these people? These people have no clue. And you have to drag them to these realizations kicking and screaming. And he says, part of it is because the so-called leaders of the Christian right, who've been all too eager to exploit what divides us, are in charge. Well, duh. And he says, at every opportunity, they've told evangelical Christians and Democrats disrespect values, and they disrespect their church, and blah, 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 blah. And he's trying to make his point. And then he goes on to say, I don't know what Bible they're reading, but it doesn't jive with my version. Well, you know, Obama, well, you know, you may be a blind squirrel, but you found an acorn that time. You know, God bless you. You know, you keep on reading, honey, and you'll catch up with us one day. Yes, you sure will. You just tune into the Head On Radio Network, and you go over to White Rose Society and listen to about 1,000 hours of our archives, and you'll just come right on up to speed there, honey. Yeah, I want somebody like you in the White House. You really, really get it. Oh, yeah. You know, last week we were talking about, I think it was last week. God, I don't even know what day it is. We're talking about the ex-gays. I got a little something here from an ex-gay survivor. His name was Eric Liclido, and he went to witness that apology in Los Angeles. And when he was a teenager, he was a high school freshman, he took two handfuls of pills. He was hoping to kill himself so that he would not have to struggle with his orientation. He survived. He said, I realized God wasn't done with me. And see, that was the problem all along. He loved God, but they had convinced him that God didn't love him. Those sons of bitches. Evil sons of bitches. So in any case, his journey was pretty long. After the suicide attempt, he came involved with the Heal Your Brokenness Ex-Gay program. He began that when he was 26 years old. Now, he was in this center of Heal Your Brokenness along with people who masturbated. They were going to fix them. He was in the center with prostitutes, and he was in the center with other gay folks, and they were trying to live the straight and normal life. And he points out, and I think quite eloquently, that everybody gets unconditional love from God, but you only get conditional love from the church based on, you know, which version of the Bible they're reading that day. We talked about this a few nights ago. You know, the Bible says it's okay to have slaves. It still says that, but nobody notices that anymore. You know, it's no longer fashionable to use it to beat people up. It says that women are subservient. It still says that. But nobody dares use it anymore. What we've realized is that it's immoral to use those things to keep people down. But, eventually this anti-gay stuff will fall into the Bible memory hole, and nobody will ever, we'll all pretend it was never there. We'll just skip right over those verses. Oh, we won't notice that anymore because we've grown. The Lord has touched us, and He's taught us. Hell yes, the Lord's touched you, and He's taught you. With us kicking and dying every step along the way, you sons of bitches, why do people have to die to bring the church along? You want to explain that to me, you sons of bitches? Anyway, he left the organization in 2004 when he realized that the ex-gay life was a sham, and he started another organization. And I haven't been here yet, but apparently he started a blog called Two World Collision. That's the word two. I need to go there. Two World Collision. And it's about being gay and being Christian. I'm looking forward to going there. And there are many people who have been movers by reading his testimony. Maybe I can get this guy on the show. You know, I'm a sucker. I'm a real sucker for religion and disco. Honey, I so should have been an organist in a charismatic church. I could have partied down. Oh, I could have had him dancing in the aisles. You know it's true. Anyway, he said when it became personal to him that when he wasn't allowing other people to define his faith, it became personal, and he became okay. And, bless that man. The call-in number is area code 305-658-5912. Please give me a call. Email comes in at peter@headonradionetwork.com.
And if you stop by strictlyconfidentialradio.com, you'll find a link to our chat room, the finest chat room on the planet, with some of the most twisted people you ever saw.
Have feelings of inadequacy? Do you suffer from shyness? Do you sometimes wish you were more assertive? If you answered yes to any of these questions, ask your doctor or pharmacist about tequila. Tequila is the safe, natural way to feel better and more confident about yourself and your actions. Tequila can help ease you out of your shyness and let you tell the world that you're ready and willing to do just about anything. You'll notice the benefits of tequila almost immediately, and with a regimen of regular doses, you can overcome any obstacles that prevent you from living the life you want to live. Shyness and awkwardness will be a thing of the past, and you'll discover many talents you never knew you had. Stop hiding and start living with tequila. Tequila may not be right for everyone. Women who are pregnant or nursing should not use tequila. However, women who wouldn't mind nursing or becoming pregnant are encouraged to try it. Side effects may include dizziness, nausea, vomiting, incarceration, erotic lustfulness, loss of motor control, loss of clothing, loss of money, loss of virginity, delusions of grandeur, table dancing, headache, dehydration, dry mouth, and a desire to sing karaoke and play all night rounds of strip poker, truth or dare, and naked twister. Warning, the consumption of alcohol may make you think you're whispering when you're not. It's a major factor in dancing like a retard. May cause you to tell your friends over and over again that you're in love with them. Also may cause you to think you can sing. Alcohol may lead you to believe that ex-lovers are really dying for you to telephone them at 4 in the morning. Alcohol may make you think you can logically converse with members of the opposite sex without spitting. It may create the illusion that you are tougher, smarter, faster, and better looking than most people. And it may lead you to think people are laughing with you. Alcohol may cause pregnancy. And it also may be a major factor in getting your ass kicked. So what are you waiting for? Stop hiding and start living with tequila.
Tequila! I can't see.
And again, I was talking about the Republican debate. So we'll get to the point where we're going to drag a terrorist out to the stage with the Republicans, and they're all going to take turns kicking him in the nuts and see who the audience cheers for the most. That's going to determine who's going to be the Republican candidate. And that's what they are. Kick him in the nuts. How do they do that on South Park? Rochambeau. They're going to Rochambeau the terrorists.
Come on, rub my nipples while I torture this little piggy.
No, that sounds pretty sweet to me.
The Cup of Joe radio show with your host, Joe Vecchio, the working man's thinking man. Moving to 11 a.m. to noon, June 18th, right here on America's Liberal Voice, the Head On Radio Network.
Never thought my daughter and I would ever think the same thing as cool.
At home, my boys are like a wrecking ball. But when they volunteer, they're actually shaping things up.
Hey, they planted trees at the local park. Clean the place up.
She makes new friends. She has a great time.
My son loves it. He's contributing.
These are nice kids.
The Are You Into It volunteer program is a great way for you and your kids to make a difference in the community while making friends. So, if you're into it, or you think your kid might be, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH. Or visit our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
We can't get him to clean his room, but he loves volunteering.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
We're going to do a song that you never heard before.
The music.
Get down. We're going to do a song that you never heard before.
The music.
That promo, that's from my new sponsor, Tequila. Yes, I went out and I rounded myself up a sponsor. And and that last, the song coming back, I just love that song. You know, our friend Glenn Rivera sent that, and, you know, I just love that man's music. Now, I've got plenty of music, it's just that I've heard my music for a long time, and it's so nice to hear another DJ, you know, in the same twisted vein as I, who's got different material. It's just fabulous. Oh, I see people that, and Cynthia Manley, too. You know, she does the, I don't know if I mentioned earlier, I know I mentioned she's on Billy Shears right now, but she also does the closing track of this program by her permission. With permission, her version of Stand is by Cynthia Manley. You'll find links to her site at strictlyconfidentialradio.com, and the phone number is 304-658-5912. You know, I mentioned the other night that you can find the instructions for building an invisible cape in the Homosexual Agenda manual. All the parts for the invisible cape you can pick up at Radio Shack, whip yourself up one. This is how we do stealth campaigning, and we pervert the church. And you know that we often cause storms in our invisible capes too. We fly around really, really fast with our brooms. And but anyway, Focus on the Family has developed a power too, a superpower. Apparently, Focus on the Family has gained the ability to travel into the future. Yes, and once they're there, they can report the news on events that haven't even happened yet for the rest of it. And then it's live on their radio stations and on their blog, and it's just amazing to me. If you'll recall, we talked about the Exodus comedy. We had the apologies from the three people who used to teach people that gay is bad, good is straight. So anyway, at the very beginning of the conference, just like day one of the conference, before the weekend had even come, before the peak crowds had come, before the register on site people had come, the walk-ins had come, even before Soul Force knew how many people were attending, Focus on the Family published out of thin air. They said that... here we go. It says, they reported that the meeting wraps up Sunday and it drew 1,000 people with no protesters. The other conference, you know, there are two apology conferences. The other conference drew 100 people. So there you have it. Your Focus on the Family people are outright liars, as if we didn't know, but maybe somebody's just finding it out. They're supplying attendance numbers in the future and reporting on them as if they, it's that time travel. They can do it now. Of course, Soul Force notified Focus on the Family about the future report, but of course it remains unchanged on their website, and they have not given the gay community the lottery numbers for the future either. So I guess they're kind of worthless. We were talking with Jim earlier about President Bush, I believe it was Jim, about when he was the governor in 2000, and he was cruising toward the Republican nomination. He invited a dozen gay Republicans to Austin. These are the log closet Republicans. And boy, he sent a powerful message to the independent voters doing that too. You know, he's got gay people there, and he's really a kinder, gentler kind of guy. And he's going to be different. He's going to be tolerant, and he's going to be respectful of gay Americans. And so, you know, people from all over the neighborhoods, you know, people from the schools, it's hard to even read this. Anyway, Bush was very cordial for 90 minutes, and he said that he was respectful of the hardships faced by gay parents, gay soldiers, gay workers. What lies? You can be fired for being gay. He tried to write it into the Constitution. Gay soldiers are still being witch-hunted and kicked out. Gay parents are losing their rights to children. You can't marry, so you can't legally have custody of the child of your partner, so the child gets ripped out of the family, you know, when one of the partners dies. So you fast forward 7 years and Bush hasn't lifted a finger. Just like I said, it's a bizarre twist, but it's fully expected by the rest of us. What is it about log cabin Republicans that they just don't get it? I swear they're Charlie Brown and Lucy. Every time the ball gets moved and every time they say, we need to stay in the Republican Party and work to change it. It can be changed. Well, honey, Only God can bring back the dead. And your Republican Party is dead on arrival. A fish rots from the head, and your party is rotted from the head down. Get over yourselves. Nobody here's buying it. We're all stocked up on crazy here. Go hike up your skirt and sell it on the corner, because nobody's buying Log Cabin Republican. Nobody a network. And we're one of some of the smartest people in the country. They went on and they backed him, and they said the nation's getting comfortable with gay rights. And oh, Jesus. And then you've got a GOP pollster. Now, he works closely with the Log Closet Republicans. He's just completed a survey. I have more information buried in this list somewhere. But he's saying that Republicans are warming to gay rights. 77% of them say employers shouldn't have the right to fire an employee over sexual orientation. In other words, he's trying to paint them as all loving. This is simply a survey done by this Tony Fabrizio, or however you say his name, was campaign manager for Bob Dole, I believe, back in the day. I mean, he's totally steeped in the Republican Party. He's a Republican hack, and now he's turning out false reports and giving them to the Log Cabin Republicans so they can continue to keep their head in the sand. You know, we need an intervention. I tell you, us gay folks, we need to just go ahead and find ourselves the lair of these Log Cabin Republicans and just walk out there and lay hands on them. We need heal, honey. Heal. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Turn away from the dark side. But to be completely fair, I really do need to be fair. I've been beating up the church rather badly, and this is something I've talked about on other people's programs. I was a habitual caller to this network before. Some poor fool gave me a microphone, but you know, and I've talked about this before. There are actually a lot of progressive Christians. We don't know that. These people are appalled by what's going on with the right. This focus on sexuality and abortion and divisive issues. The reason you do not know that, and the reason that you don't hear about it, is because they are subject to the same media prejudices as the rest of us. We'll have Republicans covered, you know, word for word, written down as if it's the gospel truth, and very little, if any, coverage on what progressives are saying. Now, they do that with politicians. We all know that. There's not a person that's listening to me that doesn't know that. But they do it with Christians, too. The only Christians who get coverage are people like Dobson and Falwell and who is his name? Tony Curtis. You know, there's a whole list of you. I try not to dwell on them, so I never really know their names unless I have it written down in front of me, because, if you're friends with Jesus, why bother to keep track of the demons? You know what I mean? I grew up in a Christian church. You know, it works out their own salvation. I'm not selling it, honey. I'm just saying it works for me. Whatever works for you, God bless you. I'm all for it. By the way, I'd love to hear from all you kids. I've got a Catholic schedule coming up pretty soon. He's a leader of a gay Catholic organization. And I talked to a fellow about getting one of the leaders from a Jewish synagogue, a gay Jewish synagogue. And, you know, I'm trying to be inclusive here. It's just that when I talk, I can only talk about, you know, what I've experienced. And that's what I've experienced. But I certainly want to hear from other people, because I ain't selling nothing, honey. I'm just Peter. It's too late to change anything now. Anyway, over the last 25 years, and I'm talking now about the Baptists. I know this is going to be shocking to you. But over the past 25 years, a huge number of Baptists have been horrified to watch the conservative Southern Baptists take over the whole message. And Friday in Washington, two of the this past Friday, I believe, two of the larger groups, the American Baptist Church and the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, began working and worshiping together for the first time. They're planning a mission to take back the Baptist Church, praise God. And I know this is going to knock you off the floor. They want to organize a national Islamic Baptist dialogue to improve relations with Muslims. This from the Baptists, I'm telling you, from the Baptists. This has always been going on. There are websites devoted to this. You just don't know it because the media won't tell you. Let's focus on the divide. They're saying that the Baptist witness is much richer and more nuanced than is characterized in the public square. And there's going to be meetings coming up in Atlanta, and they're concerned that the church is becoming increasingly rigid. And, of course, Frank Page, he's a Southern Baptist president. He says, Well, these people, they're drafting, they're promoting a left-wing liberal agenda and that seeks the needs of the world, which is, of course, to keep us bashed and to keep the brown people bashed and to keep Christians the leading and Muslims are bad. You know the drill. Why am I telling you this? That they're denying the greatest deed in the world, the need to be shown the way to eternal life through Jesus Christ. There is a scripture that says we need to work out our own salvation. I don't know why these damn people want to work out ours. And, you know, salvation may not be the right word for you. Work out your own peace of mind, your own understanding of the universe, your own understanding of how you fit into it. It's got to be personal or it don't mean shit. I'm telling you. Got to be personal. You can't have the man. It won't do. You've got to have... Oh, I know what I want to do. I think I have time to run this and then come back for just a few minutes, but I do want to get to the lesbian track of the night for our dear elves and the rainbow flag. I love those girls. This is came out in 2004. It appeared in the HBO series Queer as Folk, and I think the song is fabulous, and it's for our wonderful lesbian kids, and it's called Shine by Cyndi Lauper.
Don't try and push me away. Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
And welcome back. Welcome back. We have just a few minutes to go. You know, my language has been a little bit coarser tonight than normal, but, you know, I got to tell you, this whole thing about Libby really has me at an anger level that's hard to keep back. And I'm sorry if I offended anyone. I'll try to keep it cleaner, but sometimes the brown word is the only word that will explain how I feel. And I want to get in something upbeat to close the show with, and that is that Australians are backing same-sex marriage, praise God. Did I ever tell you guys about the Australian that I went out with before I met Bill? He was actually Italian. He was first-generation Italian, and his family moved to Australia, and he grew up in Australia. But so anyway, he was this dark-skinned, gorgeous Italian guy, but he had an Australian accent. Oh, it was to die for, honey. He could stop your heart. Oh, that Australian accent coming. Oh, that's another story. But anyway, most people in Australia favor establishing gay and lesbian couples, the marriage, this full-blown out-and-out marriage. 57% support it, and 37% are opposed. Way to go. You gotta love those Australians. Tired of it being exclusively male and female, you know, what can I tell you? This way to go, John Fox. We got our plant down there. John Fox did this. Thank you for fixing that up. And this one will fit in very quickly, too. It's actually from last week, but I never got a chance to fit it in. And that says, gay-friendly cities are enjoying more economic prosperity. Yes, this is true. It is demonstrated for sure that gay-friendly cities are more economically prosperous. They go by something called the Bohemian Gay Index, and it demonstrates that artistic Bohemian gay populations have a substantial effect on housing values and on income levels. And it reported here that the educated kids are generally moving to the gay-friendly cities after college because they tend to be the best job markets. And the five top gay-friendly cities, by the way, are San Francisco. Seattle, been there. Boston, haven't been there. Portland, lived there. And Tampa, been there, but haven't lived there. And they're also the most prosperous technological centers. So this is a good thing. Of course, nobody will pay any attention to it, probably, but it's a good thing. And it also says that places that have a large gay and lesbian community